were they getting it?
Offering and communion.
Offering and communion. Beautiful you are.
Are we leaving that other song?
Do you want us to stay right here right now? Okay. We got to practice hymns. We really did.
Good morning, church family. How are ya? All right. We are going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings here in just a moment. Before we do that, if this is your first time here with us today, welcome. I am so glad to see you here today. Your worship guide is a connection card. It looks like this. It would be terrific if you would just fill this out with your name, address, email address, phone number. We just want to get a little bit of information about you, and then you can place it in the offering plate when it comes by. That would be terrific. Also, you know, if you've never filled one of these out and you've been coming to our church for a while and you want to fill this out, so we have your information, you can do that. If you've moved recently, you can fill this out with your change of address information so we can update our database. That would be spectacular. Sandy Rosso, come on up here, please. We've got a special... special event coming up here at the end of this month, August 30th, right? It's going to be a special movie night at the library, and I want Sandy to tell you a little bit about it.
I'll stay down here. We are so delighted, the Hula Ministry, Keala o Manaʻolana, to bring to you Hawaii. With the price of gas and everything, it's very hard to travel now. So we are going to bring it to you. We are delighted to inform you that we have a very special film by an award-winning producer, director. It's won the New York Festival Film for Best Cinematography, and it's the history of Waikiki. Now, I think anybody who knows about Hawaii knows Waikiki so synonymously. Even if you haven't been there, you know the Waikiki of today. Well, we're going to take you back to the beginning of how Waikiki came about. And it's going to be on Saturday, August 30th, at the Oro Valley Library. And here's the other good deal. For $5, you get to come in to the movies with a bag of popcorn, free. And all proceeds from this will go to our building fund. We want to continue to increase our funds because we know, based on what Evelyn said, what Pastor's been teaching, Pastor Doug, we are going to reach Tucson. And we will need a place to call our own.
Amen.
So the Hula Ministry is so delighted to be a part of growing God's kingdom. So join us. We'll have tickets on sale next week, along with the flyer to tell you. We'll also have a snack bar. And what theater do you go to that you can also win door prizes? So please join us. And we're working on childcare. And the kids are going to have their own movie section. So we're really, really happy. And we'd love to have you join us. And the Hula Ministry is just so thankful that God has opened up an opportunity for us to be a part of this wonderful church. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Sandy. So keep your calendars free for that night if you could, and come help support our church and build our building fund. That'd be terrific. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings now. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, right now, I just lift up these tithes and offerings to you, Father. You know our church's needs. You know the needs of the community around us. You know how much they need you, Lord. We know that you want us to reach them. So, Lord, right now, I just ask that you bless these tithes and offerings and multiply them, Lord. bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful you are, beautiful you are to me, beautiful you are, beautiful you'll always be. Beautiful you are, beautiful you are to me, beautiful you are, beautiful you'll always be. And I will praise you in the morning, I will lift your name on high, 'cause you're worth it every moment, till the moment that I die. And even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, beautiful you are, beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are, beautiful you'll always be. Beautiful you are, beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are, beautiful you'll always be. I will praise you in the morning, I will lift your name on high, 'cause you're worth it every moment, till the moment that I die. And even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, beautiful you are, beautiful you are to me, beautiful you are, beautiful you'll always be.
Thank you so much, Randy and worship team. Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 15. Last week we looked at the cost of discipleship, and today we're going to continue talking about discipleship and what Jesus teaches about what a disciple looks like. And we're going to look at John chapter 15. I've got a picture I want to show you. Let's see how clear this. All right, there we go. This is from in Hampton Court near London, and there's a grapevine there, right here, what you're looking at. It was planted in the 1760s. It's the world's oldest grapevine, living grapevine, and the world's largest grapevine. It's still thriving today. The grapevine has one root, which is more than 2 feet thick, and some of the branches are 200 feet long. Yet at the end of the branches are these luscious bunches of grape. It produces 500 to 7 bunches of grapes each year. Take a picture of one of the little. It's not looking good. Boy, I wish we had some grapes to pass out. That would have been really good. But So it produces these black grapes, which are harvested every September, and then they're sold in the gift shop there at Hampton Court. But it is just amazing that life flows from that single root throughout the vine, 200 feet away. But it's from the actual root, from the vine, you know, there's enough nourishment and strength for hundreds of years to produce such delicious, luscious fruit. And today we're going to talk about how Jesus promises to do the same for each of us. In fact, the vitality of our spiritual life is dependent upon that connection to Christ, who calls himself the vine, the true vine. And so we're going to read this from John 15, the first 11 verses. And Jesus was telling this to his disciples not too long before he died for them. And this is what he said. I am the true vine, and the Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. The New King James Version and the New American Standard says abide in me. Remain or abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Everything in life, by the way, we do to the glory of God. I've been trying to teach that to my boys, even as they play football and baseball. In fact, when John was playing baseball through the summer, every time before he got a bat, I would say to him, John, why are you doing this? Even during the regular season, before he got up to bat, I was one of the coaches in the dugout, and I'd say, John, why are you doing this? And he'd say, for the glory of God. Just want to teach him everything we do in life is for the glory of God. Why do you play football, John and Daniel? It's for the glory of God. Hannah, why do you do gymnastics? I do it for the glory of God, you know, to praise him with my life. You know, why do you do hula? It's for the glory of God. We need that perspective over every area of our lives. You know, everything we do is for the glory and honor of God. And in verse 9, Jesus says, as my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's another amazing verse right there, verse 11. He says, I have told you this so my joy may be complete and that your joy may be complete. In other words, when we're connected to the vine, when we're connected to Jesus in that way, there's no reason for us to wallow in depression or, you know, sadness or anxiety, really, because this is God's joy that he imparts in us and through us. It's that connection to the vine, the branches to the vine. And in this passage of Scripture, you can see that Jesus talks about several different types of branches. And this morning, I've titled my message, What Kind of Branch Are You? And as we go through this, just allow the Holy Spirit to just to impress on your heart what kind of branch that you may bear right now or have. And the first branch is this. It's the withered branch. This is not the good branch, by the way. Say no to this branch. The withered branch. Jesus said in verse 6, I think I've got that scripture. Would you read that with me? Verse 6, here we go. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. In other words, they are useless branches. He says, if anyone does not remain in me, So what does it mean to remain in Jesus? What does that mean? Well, the first thing it means is it means to be in communion with him through prayer. We cannot be connected to Jesus without a lifestyle of prayer, because prayer is the key to remaining in him. It's the key to abiding in Jesus. In fact, look at how Jesus said it in verse 7. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." See, Jesus is describing that relationship that is based upon prayer. When we come to him and depend, where we come to him and depend on him. So to remain in Jesus means to live constantly connected to him through prayer and the presence of his Spirit. We must have that lifestyle of prayer that we develop in order for us to remain. But even more than that, Jesus said it's also hearing and obeying his word. In fact, look at what verse 10 says. Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." So if we don't have that lifestyle of prayer and also that desire to obey the commands of God, what are we? We are the withered branch. Or if we just pick and choose which commands we want to obey. A lot of Christians that have been Christians for a long time, we become good at that. We pick and choose the type of commands that we want to obey in our life. Because some of them are, I don't want to do that because that's going to, might hurt me financially. Or I don't want to do that because I just don't have the time to give up for that. We pick and choose, how we want to live our walk with the Lord. And Jesus says we can't do that. If we do that, if we don't obey his commands, if we don't have that passion to live out his word, we are withering away. Maybe today, I think many today, we know what the word says, but we don't actually live it out. There's that disconnect between what we know and how we live or how we behave. And Jesus is saying here that to remain in him, we must live the way he's designed us to live, to obey his commands. If we don't, there's that disconnect that happens. And the problem is many Christians live that lifestyle of connect, disconnect, reconnect. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe on Sundays we connect. Okay, yeah. During the week we disconnect. Next Sunday we reconnect. There's that disconnect happening. And Jesus is teaching us it's got to be constant. We've got to completely, we're branches that got to be connected to that vine if we're going to bear fruit. In fact, there's a section in John Castile's book, How to Walk in the Spirit, that I love. He tells the story of when he was a boy. And when he was a boy, his mom was his Sunday school teacher. And she often would use these object lessons to teach them biblical principles. I try to do that a lot, too. I want to give you something to see that you can kind of picture it so you can better apply it to your lives. But he tells a story about one Sunday morning, his mom, she asked the little 8-year-old or 10-year-old John Castile to go to the backyard and to their grapevine and cut off about 15 different branches. So John did that, and then they took him to Sunday school. And he says in this book, "I was so curious to see what my mom was going to do with these branches." So they get to Sunday school, and she teaches on this chapter, John 15, about the vine and the branches. And then she passes the branches out to all the kids in the class. And then she asks them, she says, "Do you think that these branches have any chance of bearing any fruit now that they've been cut off the vine?" And the class, they thought about it, and they said, "Well, no." Then she asked if there was any chance that they would even live long at all. "Will these branches live maybe another even week?" And the class quietly responded, "No." And then again she read these words of Jesus about how he is the vine and we are the branches, and how the branches are to bear fruit. And they discussed that life process that keeps the branches alive. And she asked any of them if they thought they could be fruitful unto God if they kept on disconnecting from Jesus' presence. And this is what John Castile writes. He said, "We realized that we couldn't even live without him." Isn't that true? We can't even live without him. And he said, "I never forgot that lesson. It has become a part of my concept of living in the Spirit." See, the picture that Jesus paints about the vine and the branches explain how fruitfulness comes into our lives. The life of each branch is found in the sap that flows from the root through the vine into the branches to produce life and fruitfulness. So a branch can only bear fruit if it remains connected deeply and constantly to the vine. As soon as you cut those branches off, there's no chance that they can bear any fruit. So just as the vine begins to wither the moment it becomes disconnected from its life source, so we begin to wither spiritually any time that we become disconnected from our life source. And Jesus warned us that if we disconnect from his presence, we cannot bear fruit. Rather, we are a withered branch. He says we must stay connected to the vine. And we know we do that through a lifestyle of prayer and reading God's word. I know summertime is a time where a lot of us, we get into disconnect mode because a lot of us have kids at our home and we get busy. We have all these activities and plans. And a lot of times the first thing that kind of dwindles away is our spiritual life. And school is starting this week. And I also want to encourage you this week to get reconnected. But you know what? Let's not go reconnect, disconnect, connect, reconnect. Let's just keep it connected. Amen. One of the great ways that we can do this here, we've got this really cool tool called a life journal or a spiritual growth notebook. A lot of you have done this before. Some of you are currently doing it right now. You've been faithful to the process even through summer. But some of you have one of these, and maybe it's a spiritual growth notebook. We've got, we just brought this morning several of these. There's a really pretty ladies' version that's really compact and cute. You can stick it in your purse. Then there's the other one right here. But it has in it a Bible reading plan, scriptures that you can read every single day, and then a neat little acronym to follow called SOAP, talking about Jesus' word making us clean. SOAP makes us clean. But it's SOAP. It's S stands for a scripture. You read that day's writing and write down a scripture verse that Jesus is speaking to you, his Spirit is speaking to you. Then O is observation, what you observe from that scripture. A is how can you apply this to your life? And then P, just a simple prayer to pray. Lord, I need your help doing this today. Or whatever, you know, you want to pray at that moment. And then there's also a place for you to write down what you're praying for. For me, it's a tool. It's a pruning tool to keep me connected to the vine. Some of you have another system of reading. That's fine. But I'm telling you, if you want to stay connected and be intentional about being connected to the vine, these are great. We bought these in Hawaii the last time we went for $5 a piece, and we're going to sell them this morning for $5. And we're not going to charge the shipping charge, which is me, you know, the shipper. Although that might help me go to my next Hawaii trip, but they're $5 if you'd like to pick one up this morning. I want to encourage you to do so. But more than that, if you're going to do this, get a partner. Get someone that can hold you accountable. Maybe you can meet with them once or twice a week at your home or at Starbucks or someplace to go through your time of devotions with them. But make sure you have someone that holds you accountable. We need each other. I'm telling you, in this Christian walk, we need each other. We need to poke each other, prod each other, encourage each other, rebuke each other. We need each other for our spiritual growth. I'm telling you, if you just depend on Sundays for your spiritual growth, you're going to connect, disconnect, reconnect. And I'm going to tell you, when you're living that kind of connect, reconnect, disconnect life, there's not a chance you're going to bear any fruit, because bearing fruit is the last thing on your mind. When you live, connect, disconnect, reconnect, you know, you're not going to have that spiritual vitality. There's got to be more to that, and that comes with a daily time with the Lord. All right? So we don't want to be withered branches, right? It's no good. They're cut off. They're thrown in the fire. Useless. Not a good thing. The next one is a pruned branch. This is better, but this sometimes hurts. But we all need pruning, right? The next one is a pruned branch. Jesus says, he cuts off, in verse 2, Jesus said, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. Some of you are gardeners here, and you know about the importance of pruning, right? Sometimes you have this beautiful tree, and you obviously prune dead branches. You even prune healthy branches, because a great gardener knows that you've got to prune this thing. And if you do it, it almost sometimes when you prune it, it looks like it's dead. It's like, ooh. But in a couple months, all of a sudden, it just blossoms, and you got this beautiful plant or tree. So pruning is important. It's necessary to train and direct growth, to control size and shape, improve health, and improve the fruit. So God does the same thing in us. He prunes us. He prunes us so that we become healthy and we live up to our full potential. He does so in many ways. The first way that he prunes us, the first tool he gives us is his word. This is a pruning tool. Hebrews says that God's word is living and active, sharper, pruning tool, sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible says that it searches our hearts. It pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, says Hebrews 4:12. So, for example, let's say you're taking that time sometime in the day to go through that SOAP acronym. Really, you're reading something, and all of a sudden the scripture's going to say something, and you're thinking, I'm not lined up with scripture. This is what God's word says, but I'm not doing this. So you write the scripture verse that spoke to you, what you observe, and how you can apply it to your life to make you in line with scripture. That's called pruning. God's taking away all those things in us that aren't godly and pruning us so that we can live up to our full potential and grow healthy and strong and build our character, build our integrity. God prunes us. He does that. This is the fun way that God prunes us because, you know, when we read it, we realize, man, that's great. The not so fun way is when circumstances prune us. And God allows circumstances in our life. Some really tough things sometimes, situations, circumstances. It might be financial, it might be relational. All these things in our life, God uses to build character in our lives because he loves us and he wants us to grow healthy and strong. I've known people that have walked through financial nightmares and they think, man, what good can come out of that? And then they have a testimony of, man, you know what? I learned to trust in God. I learned to be dependent upon him and not the security of finances to sustain me. It's God's pruning us. So, hey, life's not about finances. We need them. We need to survive, obviously. But you can't put your hope and trust in that kind of security. Your hope and trust needs to be on the rock, on God that doesn't shift in sand, that doesn't falter, doesn't move. And then that's God's way of pruning us if we allow him to. Unfortunately, sometimes when circumstances come, people, they, rather than being connected to the vine, they disconnect. And then they start doing things in their own power and strength. And then rather than those hard times pruning us, we let those things really devour us. Because we're not allowing the vine to sustain us, to give us that life vitality that we need for spiritual renewal and spiritual vitality. You with me? So we can't disregard pruning. We need it. And we need God's word to prune us. We need the circumstances we go through with our children, with our spouses, at work. All those things are God's way of building our character. And so his joy can be complete in us. Because we learn that our joy is not based on the circumstances around us. You know, when circumstances make us, happy? It's happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances. But when all of life is falling around us and we still have that joy, it's because we're not letting the circumstances, you know, cave us in. We're finding that joy from being connected to the vine and letting him walk us through all those things. And we can still be joyful and smile. Be like, why are you smiling? I mean, everything's going crazy in your life. I'm just joyful. I've got the joy of the Lord. It's available to every single one of us as we remain connected to the vine. Yeah? So we got the withered branch, we got the pruned branch, and this is what Jesus ultimately wants from us, is the fruitful branch. In verse 8, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Do you catch what he's saying? It's pretty clear. The way that we show that we are disciples is not how pious we look, right? It's not, you know, it's bearing fruit. This is the way that we truly, it's the test of a disciple. In fact, you can tell if you are following Jesus or not by the fruit that you bear. And in Scripture, there's at least three types of fruit that are very clear and evident. And the first is the fruit of his Spirit. When we remain in Jesus and live in his presence, we bear the fruit of his Spirit. Would you turn to Galatians 5, 22 and 23? It's on page 1033 in my Bible. Probably doesn't help you much. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We learn here that as we remain connected to the vine, as we are allowing his Spirit to live in us, it produces these virtues, these fruit. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23 say this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Verse 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." And verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So we've got these nine virtues, these nine fruit that we bear when we are connected to the vine. These are the fruit of his Spirit. And you can tell if you are a branch that is withered or fruitful simply by analyzing yourself against these nine fruit. I want to say this, though. I mean, you could work at trying to do these nine things, but really, it is the fruit of already living in Christ Jesus. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not something we try to work toward. It's we stay connected to the vine, and God produces this naturally as a byproduct, as a fruit in our lives. So take love, for example. And you could tell if you're a withered branch by the opposite of love. Are you unloving? And I was thinking about, well, how do we measure whether we're loving? And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is always a great, you know, testimony to what true love is. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So I can think, okay, Johnny, are you rude? Am I rude? Am I self-seeking? Am I easily angered? Who? Do I keep a record of wrongs when someone really is mean to me? Do I, you know what I mean? So that's how we can tell if we're loving or not, if we're living by the Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're withering or if we're being fruitful. Do we have that virtue of love? Are we letting God produce that in us? Or take joy. The opposite of joy is being depressed or living without that eternal hope that, you know, God makes available to each one of us. If we're not joyful, you can tell that we're kind of on that withering side. Our peace. Do you have lack of peace in your life? Are you just always feeling chaos and stress and anxiety? Or take patience. Ouch. lack of patience, being anxious. Kindness, what's the opposite of kindness? Being mean. How about the opposite of goodness? Maybe malice. Malice is having like bad intentions toward people. You know, there's someone you don't like on the softball team and they get up and you're like, I hope he strikes out. You know, I hope he just, you know, that's not goodness, that's badness. Some of you are feeling conviction. Because I get up and they say, I hope he's, no. Or faithfulness. What's the opposite of faithfulness? It's being inconsistent or not being faithful to your calling, not being faithful to your responsibilities. You know, you're kind of hit and miss. Or gentleness. The opposite of gentleness is being kind of harsh, you know, rather than being gentle like a dove, like, you know, Jesus wants us to be. We're just harsh and just lash out on people. Self-control. The opposite of self-control, you know, living undisciplined or easily giving in to temptation. Just don't have, not having any self-control. See, these are the nine fruit that will come naturally as we are intentional about remaining or abiding in Jesus and being connected to that vine. So that's the first type of fruit we bear. It's the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of His Spirit. In fact, if you look at Jesus, Jesus embodies all nine of these fruit. Jesus was love. He was peace. He was kindness. He was goodness. He was faithful. All those things. So that way, when we're living in His presence in the Spirit, we're the same way. He produces that in us. All right. The second is the fruit in our witness for Christ to make Him known to others. We bear the fruit in our witness for Christ. And we learn about this through Scripture. In fact, Paul uses even that the word fruit in Colossians 1:6 when he says, all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. As disciples of Christ, we have that same passion for lost people that Jesus had because we're connected to the vine. You know, we're not growing from our fruit. We're not growing lemons or oranges. You know, we're growing grapes because we're connected to that vine. We have the same, you know what I mean? It's the same type of fruit. So the fruit that God wants to bore in this world is a harvest of people coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. That's why God sent Jesus to this earth, is to seek and to save the lost. First Peter tells us, or Second Peter tells us, it's God's heart that none would perish. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to experience eternal damnation. He wants everyone to come to a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus so we can have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus. And so the fruit that disciples bear are the fruit of a witness for Christ. This is so important for us to really take hold of in these last days, because history is culminating towards something. You know it. You can see it. You know these aren't just normal times. I believe that we are literally in the last days. I really believe that Jesus is coming again in my lifetime. Some of you have that same conviction. In fact, we should live like He's coming in our lifetime. That's how the gospel, that's how the New Testament was started. Peter and Paul, all these guys thought that Jesus was coming literally within their lifetime, and it helped them focus their priorities. It helped them focus the reason they did things, because they thought Jesus is coming. And we have to live with that same type of fervor that He's coming in our lifetime. If He's coming, I want people to come with me, because I'm going to be held accountable for those that don't know. You know, those that were, for example, in my circle of influence, I believe I'll be held accountable for those people that I didn't bear witness to. And so we've got to just somehow get that passion for people, for lost people. And I know how to do that. It's remaining connected to the vine. If we're connected to the vine, we can't help but let people know the hope that we have, because we're in the same spirit with Christ Jesus, because we're connected. So a true disciple, a fruitful branch, is going to bear the fruit of His Spirit. We're going to live like He did. We're going to have the fruit of His witness. We're going to think like Jesus thinks. And then the third thing here is we bear the fruit of righteousness. we bear that fruit of righteousness. I'm going to read you Philippians 1, 9 through 11. You can turn there if you can get there quickly here. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. if not, just write the reference down, but this is a great little passage of scripture for you to underline and keep in mind. As we are connected to the vine, we bear the fruit of righteousness. As you're turning there, let me tell you what that Greek word for righteousness means. The Greek word is diakoyosune, and it means integrity, virtue, purity of life. It means rightness. It means being morally upright. It means correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. It's how we become acceptable to God. We have the fruit of righteousness. Jesus makes us right in God's eyes. And this is what Paul wrote in Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Paul said, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ." That was his prayer for the Philippians. It's prayer for us too, that we would remain pure and blameless until Christ returns. And then in verse 11 he says, "Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Again, all this we do is to bring glory and praise to God. It's the chief aim of mankind, is to bring glory to God. So Paul is saying here that the fruit of righteousness, it includes all of the character traits that flow from being in a right relationship with God. And it happens through Jesus Christ being connected to the vine. So this is how we become fruitful. It's simply by being connected to the vine. And we bear the fruit of his spirit. We're going to bear the fruit of his witness. And we're going to bear the fruit of righteousness. This is a key scripture for us, I believe, because it really explains to us what Jesus wants of his disciples. I think all of us have maybe sometime in our life a picture of what we want with our Christian life, but I think it's much more important for us, I don't think I know it, for us to want to live the way Jesus wants us to live, and he wants us to be fruitful. Not to be withered and lacking joy in our lives, but to be connected to him and having all the spiritual vitality that a relationship with him brings. This morning we're going to come to the Lord's table and share in communion with him. And as we do so, this is a perfect time to just to give in to what Jesus wants from us. To even say, "Lord, if this is you," to say, "Lord, I'm tired of connecting, disconnecting, reconnecting, living that kind of relationship. I want to stay and remain connected to the vine." The motivation to do so is the cross. We know that Jesus gave it all to us when he stretched out his arms and showed us how much he loved us by allowing those nails to go through his hands and giving his life for us. And this morning, I just want to remind you that communion is a time of renewal. It's a time of refreshment. It's a time to just get things in order in your life. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, a man ought to examine himself before he drinks of the cup and eats the body of life. And let's do that right now in just the next few moments. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to us. In fact, maybe for many of us, maybe for all of us, this right here is just a time of pruning where God can say, if you allow him to, okay, I want to cut back that branch. That branch right there is not bearing any fruit. That thought pattern right there is not helping you at all. That attitude you have is not, you know, that unhealed relationship is causing decaying branches. Let's allow God right now to just search us and see if there would be anything in us that's offensive or not right. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads and just have a one-on-one time with the Lord. Can we have our ushers come forward, please? Lord Jesus, we pray your blessing right now, Lord, over this time of communion, Lord. Lord Jesus, we don't take for granted, Lord, this act that we're about to participate in, Lord. When you gave your blood, when you shed your blood for us, Lord, we know it was for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. When your body was bruised for our iniquities, Lord, when you took those lashings, Lord, we know it's so that we could have life, Lord. And right now, Lord Jesus, we celebrate this at this time, Lord, that we can communicate in you and participate, Lord, in your sufferings. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Beautiful you are. Beautiful.
Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence right now, Lord, and for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much that you want such a relationship with us, Lord, one that is so deeply connected to you, Lord. Lord, that makes us feel loved and accepted, Lord. A lot of us, we've never even had really, really significant human relationships. We have had some, but people that were close to 5 years ago, maybe we're not close to today, or childhood friends that we thought we would know the rest of our lives, some of those relationships are long gone. But Lord, we know a relationship with you is like none other, because you never leave us, Lord. Sometimes in our sinfulness and our humanity, we walk away. We take a few steps back, Lord, but you never leave us, Lord. And I thank you so much, Lord, for for wanting that type of relationship, Lord, with each one of us, Lord. And this morning, Lord, by us eating and drinking, Lord, and fellowshipping with you right now, we're saying we want to yield. We want to give in. We want to surrender to it, Lord. We want to be connected to you in such a way that we don't try in our own human efforts to bear fruit. It just happens, Lord, because of our relationship with you. We want that from you, Jesus. And Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, as we eat and drink, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for making this relationship possible by dying for us, Lord, and giving yourself for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he is with his disciples, and they were sharing their thoughts together and wondering what was going to happen to Jesus. And Jesus told them, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat, do so in remembrance of me." Let's remember Jesus right now as we eat together. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is given for you. This is the new covenant. All the old has passed away, and this is everything new for you. This is for the forgiveness of your sins." And he said, "As often as you drink, do so to remember me." Let's remember him right now. Amen. Can we all stand together and sing, "I Will Praise You in the Morning"? Let's sing with our best voices to Jesus. Here we go.
"I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. 'Cause you're worth it every moment. Till the moment that I die. See, even when death takes this body, Lord, my soul will ever see of your glory in the highest.
Going to dismiss right now. I wish there was more news for you to report, for me to report to you on this building that we are trying to purchase. We are asking God right now just for a clear word on what we should do. The only thing new I can report is that the architect gave us a fee for a proposal for what it's going to cost to tell us what's wrong with the facility. And it's going to be about $4,000 up to $4,500 just for him to. There's five violations from the county, and the county wanted us to get an architect to go in there and tell us what we need to do, and it's going to take a big chunk of change just to do that. So I have to meet with our church council here in the next week to figure out what our next move is going to be. For the fire department to sign off on it, for the county to sign off on it, it may be more than we can bite off. We're willing to do anything if God says this is it, but we're just not convinced yet. So we've got some fleeces out there. We're asking God. We're just being faithful to it. But I do know one thing. God wants us to go deep and wide. He wants to do it individually, spiritually, to go deeper and wider as we receive his love. And here he wants us to go deeper and wider. It's his plan. I can tell you, it's his plan for this church. It's his plan for every single church to grow and to receive new believers into his kingdom. So my prayer for all of us as people of Pathway of Hope, spiritually, we go deeper and wider, and also we pray that physically here, we go deeper and wider. We push these black things back, you know, as we be God's missional church in these last days. Amen. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. Make sure you go to the resource table and get a journal if you don't have one. And if this is your first time and you said yes to the Lord and you want a relationship with Him, we have a yes table here, a Bible study to help you take your first few steps. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great day. See you tonight at the softball game. Yeah.
And I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. Cause you're worth it every moment. To the moment that I die. Cause even when death takes this body, will this soul ever sing of your glory in the highest? Will you come at everything? Cause I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. Cause you're worth it every moment. To the moment that I die. Even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul.